Morning, good morning. Welcome to New Vision for Life Church, where the love never ends. And we are continually growing in Proverbs 29 and 18, which tells us where there is no vision, the people perish. But happy is he that keepeth the law. It's an honor to be with you this morning as we celebrate, as we give honor to our precious and awesome Father, as we give thanks, as this is Palm Sunday and we're recognizing the ushering in of Christ, Lord God, preparing for the sacrifice, preparing for the ultimate sacrifice taken for our sins, that we, Lord God, will be free from the very debt of sin, from we will be freed from the price of the resulting price of death, Lord God, that we will be redeemed. So we thank you, we thank you, we thank God. Once again, an honor to be with you this morning, just to celebrate God and all his awesome and infinite wisdom and power and strength. Thanking him for his move upon our lives. Today is another day that we have the opportunity to celebrate. So before we move on, I'm just asking that you would all unmute your mics, that you would all just lift a hallelujah praise. I don't know what he's done for you. I don't know what you're waiting on, but no matter what it is, what he's done, what you're waiting on to happen, he deserves a hallelujah praise. So if we could all unmute our mics and give a collective hallelujah to our precious and awesome Father.
Hallelujah.
Glory to your name, O God. Glory to your name. Well, saints, once again, good morning to you. Welcome to everyone on the line. I'm not sure. I don't see visitors. I see a few names that I don't recognize. But welcome to you all. Welcome to you all. As we are joining today, Lord God, just celebrating our Lord Jesus Christ, celebrating what he's done for us and what he'll continue to do in our lives as he blesses us in the abundance that is only God, the abundance that comes from only God. Once again, honored to be with you and to have the opportunity to present our beloved, our excited, our shepherd, a woman of God who has continued to be praying on our behalf, who has continued to labor on our behalf, who continues to work harder than anyone I've ever seen. She continues to push. She's up till 4 in the morning praising and back up at 11 again serving the next day. So
Jesus.
Whenever you get the opportunity, let's just keep our woman of God, keep our shepherd lifted. I know that Minister Kyle gives us a name to pray for that's in our family business to pray, but we need to always keep our apostle lifted. This woman of God will never stop. Has never wavered in keeping us lifted. So it is our obligation, it is our privilege, it is our honor to be able to continue to lift the word of God on her behalf, to lift praise and prayers to God for her, because we are truly, truly, truly blessed to have her in our lives, to have her in the ministry, to have her as our leader. So I'm just thanking God for her. And without further ado, I want to introduce and present to you all our beloved, our excited apostle, Etta Banks.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Hallelujah. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank Praise you. Be unto God. Praise be unto God. Well, y'all know this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. I want to thank Kyle always, not Kyle, but yeah, I want to thank you too, Kyle, okay, for your music selections. so forth. I do thank God for that. Amen. Praise be unto God. But I want to thank Elder Mark for the wonderful introductions that he give every week, and that he gives every week. And when I listen to him, I'm like, my God, it's only by the grace and the mercy of God that I'm able to do what it is I'm able to do. However, I almost had to give up the ghost this weekend because I'm telling you, I wore myself out this weekend. My supernatural powers, they decided, look, if you don't know when to stop, we do. And they slowed down on me. And I felt every bit of it. Praise be unto God. But I do thank God for all that he does and all that he's doing. It is with my great pleasure, praise be unto God, that I am going to introduce somebody else that's going to share with us this morning. Praise be unto God. Amen. And I purposely didn't tell Mark because I wanted to do this introduction. I've known this young lady I've known her all of her life. Not all of my life, but I've known her all of her life. Praise be unto God. And a truly a woman of God, a woman of God, one who studies the word. She's an intercessor. She's a prophet. She's no nonsense when it comes to the word of God. And she is kind and generous and all of the things. She has all the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit, all of the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit. So I know her spiritually. I know her in the natural sense. I know the good, the bad, and the ugly, and with pride in my heart, knowing who she is today, I was able to ask her, you know, do you have a word that you would like to bring today? Do you have a word that you could, not just that she would like to bring, that she could bring today? Short notice. When I say I asked her today, I asked her this morning. Okay? I asked her this morning. And God had already given her a word, a word that, you know, she shared with some of us before, and it's still befitting for this day. It's befitting for this day. So I would like to introduce to y'all already know her, but I'd like to present to you none other than my beloved baby sister, my only sister, Denise. She's on here as Leora. That's her first name, Leora. Leora Denise Medley. Truly, truly a woman of God, and I am so proud to have her in my life. So I thank God for giving her to my mother, and then my mother allowing her to come forth and be here where she is. She was created for such a time as this, and I thank God for her. So without further ado, beloved, I turn things over to you. Let's give the Lord a praise as Denise comes forth with our word for today. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you,
Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's something, because when I was little, I wanted so much to be like my sister. I just thought everything about her was perfect. And everything about me was flawed, and I wanted to be like her. And yesterday morning, my husband and I were testing some equipment, and he asked me to speak, and I did. He said, wait, speak again. And I just said one word. He said, no, say a couple of words. And so I said a couple of words. He said, you sound just like your sister. I thought, I have arrived. I sound like my sister. All right, I'm part of the family now. But she was always the good one. She truly was. She always had compassion and love for other people. And I just did not have that. I didn't. And it was something that I had to pray for because I didn't have it. If people made me mad, I just cut them off. You know, I would get angry. I fought. And she could find a reason to forgive people. I couldn't. I found a reason to pop them, you know. that was my reason. I had a five-fold ministry, and you didn't want me to fold it up. God is a merciful God. And I say it, and I mean it with all my heart. If God can save me, He can save anybody. He really, truly can. And this, for me, growing up, actually, Palm Sunday through Easter was a very hard time for me. Mom would always put on, we would see the Ten Commandments, and sometimes we watch Ben-Hur. They had one about him. And but when it came to the crucifixion of Christ, watching anything, I just couldn't watch it. I could not watch it. It would just hurt me so much. And to think that He had suffered for us and He did nothing wrong, I could not imagine that. I couldn't. And God gave me a revelation, I feel, about Him. This week, it's something that I feel has to do with all of us. So my sister is going to help me out, and she is going to read Isaiah 53 for us, and then I'm going to tell you what the Lord showed me.
Okay, all righty. Isaiah 53. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we were healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor any deceit was in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hands. As he has suffered, he will see the light of light and be satisfied. And by his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong. because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. That was Psalms 53, verses 1 through 12.
Isaiah,
forgive me. Thank you.
That's okay. That's okay. And I could hear the heartbreak, when you read about what Jesus went through for us. And this morning, just reading it, even it had the same effect on me. And I thought, it's hard for me to read, because you see the life of Christ. You see Jesus, his ministry did not start when he was 30. It started when he was born.
Yes.
God does not make mistakes. And when God thought of you, that is when your ministry started.
My God.
Just like he ordained Christ's life, he ordained your life. And God brought you into this world with a plan and a purpose. And he started when he thought of you. And this says about Jesus. And I love it, because in verse 1, it says, who will believe our message?
Mm-hmm.
This is the message that we're trying to take to the people of God. You are special. There is a plan and a purpose that God has for your life, and not anything that was done in you or to you was by accident. Everything about your life was planned before you were born. And God has to reveal that to us. He has to show us how much he loves us, how much he put in us, and what he knew we could carry. Because see, you have something to carry. There is an expectation, there is a weight, there is a burden, there is a truth, there is love, there's all kind of things that God has put in you to carry forth, to give to somebody else, to help them receive the life and the end that God has for their life.
Mm-hmm.
It says he grew up as a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. And how many of us, when we were little, we saw all of our flaws. We saw how people didn't want us, how people talked about. I remember what I looked like. I was a mess. When I say I admired my sister and wanted to be like her, everything about her to me was perfect when I was this little girl growing up. And I couldn't understand, why did God make me so different than my sister? I remember the day as an adult, and this was just, I don't know, maybe within the last 10 years, I went into the bathroom one day, I looked in the mirror and I saw my sister. I said, my God, I look like my sister. It was one of the happiest moments of my life, because I could identify with her. Someone who I thought was great, who had so many good qualities that I didn't have. Seeing her, I saw all of my shortcomings. And when we look at Christ, we see all of our shortcomings.
Yes.
What? You're going to minister to somebody with shortcomings.
Yes.
You are going to do it. How many? Think about it. Just about everyone on this line has children. How many of you had a child with the purpose of giving their life up for somebody else's life?
My God. Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. How many of you would do it?
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
I was conceived for the purpose of being given away. Pastor, and I call her pastor because to me she's a shepherd and she's my shepherd. And so I call her pastor, and y'all have to forgive me, but she's my pastor. She's leading and guiding me, and she has all my life. And here, what did I want to say? When she was born with a purpose of being part of the family. My brother, part of the family. My mother had me to give me away. So she didn't have that kind of attachment. She didn't attach herself to me like she did to her other two kids. Her sister kept getting pregnant and losing kids and losing kids and losing kids. And finally, the doctor said to her, "You cannot try and have kids anymore. Your heart is not good. Having a child will kill you." So my mother deliberately prayed and asked God, "Give me a child, but let it look like my family," because she knew she was giving me away. Well, that giveaway didn't happen, because the last child that my aunt lost was a little boy. And she, when my mother presented me to her, she tells my mother, "You keep her, I want the son." And my mother said, "You can't have my son. It's the only son I have." So neither one of them wanted me. So there I was, this unwanted child. And then because I looked like my mother's family, my father's friends told him, "That's not your child." Rejected by my dad. We don't realize when we're little the things that cause us. And when she's teaching on that, baby, tell me that.
With deliverance, with the rejection?
Yes. Yes, with the rejection. How we can start even in the womb. When you don't attach yourself to a child, they don't feel that love. I knew I was my mother's child. I knew my mother loved me as much as she loved the others, but I didn't feel it. I could tell you my mother loved me because my mother fed me, she clothed me, she took care of me, but I didn't feel love. And I just didn't. And I think that was part of the beginning of my anger. When my younger brother came after, he was loved. He looked just like my dad. My dad loved him. I was the outcast. I always felt like the outcast of the family. And so every time I saw something in me that I could identify with my sister, it made me feel like a part of the family. My mother and I, our personalities were so much alike that we butted heads. Well, guess what? Jesus' personality was like his father.
Amen.
He had his dad's personality. Why? Because God wanted him to be like him. And some of us, we look at ourselves and all we see is how we're not like Jesus. How could God want me? What can God do with me? You see all your flaws, and yet you're made perfect. You are made perfect in his image. The first miracle I saw, I was 3 years old, and I've never forgotten it. And I knew at that point there was a God, and God could do anything. I've never doubted that. Never doubted that he could do anything. I just doubted he would do it for me. And many of us walk around like that today. There's nothing God can't do, but he won't do it for me. And when Jesus was growing up, he had to battle the same things that we battle, rejection. Yes. He was rejected from the time he was a child. Now, I am not saying that I am like Jesus and that I'm perfect. I'm saying we all experience some form of rejection, and we have since we were kids. But you know what? God taught him how to go through those things and not sin. What were our parents teaching us when they were correcting our behavior? just because you go through these things don't mean you can do wrong. You got to do what's right. When we got in those little fights as kids, mama would tell, okay, you two come here, hug, forgive, kiss. Oh man, when she said, kiss your brother, oh God, I thought I'd die. Kiss my brother. Oh, he's the one getting me in trouble. I can't kiss him. Hug him. Oh, you want me to touch this kid? I just want to hit him. What do you mean, hug him? I mean, mommy was on it, teaching us how to love one another. Love your brother. And how many of us in the body of Christ, our affliction comes from our brother in the Lord. And that hurts more than the hurt we get out in the street, because we know they don't like us. But when we get it from a sister or a brother, it's a deep hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you what, my little brother and I, we just fought so much. And Etta would just come to his rescue. And I thought, oh my, how come she never comes to my rescue? She went to his rescue. She was always rescuing him. How many times does God come to our rescue?
Amen.
And he
Amen.
Pulls us out of a snare that the enemy has set for us.
Mm-hmm.
And make us fall. And here comes God, Daddy God, right there on the scene, pulling us out.
Mm-hmm.
We get to experience what Jesus experienced. And the whole time I don't want to go through this. I don't understand. Oh, why doesn't God love me? Listen, he does love you. He's preparing you for eternity. He is teaching you how to get over all the things that the enemy brings upon you. Despised and rejected by mankind. There's not one of us on this line who can say, I've never been despised. I've never been rejected. Everyone on here has suffered. We are familiar with pain. We know what pain is like. Yesterday I was celebrating my granddaughter's birthday. One was on Friday, the other one was yesterday. And so we're over celebrating. And my daughter put on that song, Happy Birthday by Stevie Wonder. Now, I didn't know he wrote the song. When it came out, I was a Christian already, so I wasn't into worldly artists, and also I didn't know. And she told me it was about Martin Luther King. And I remember when Martin Luther King died, I was in second grade. And it was a terrible shock. This man of God has been killed. I couldn't understand it. God, what will happen to us? He was our deliverer. He was trying to deliver us. And now you allow him to die. That's how the disciples felt when Jesus said, I'm going away. You can't. You're our deliverer. You can't leave us. You can't abandon us. You're supposed to get us through all this. But that's what happens. Because God, even though Jesus was a son, he don't take the place of God.
Mm-hmm.
We have to keep our eyes focused on God. And sometimes we get our eyes focused on man that God is using and think, oh, you know, we make him God. We bow to him. And sometimes God has to move them out of the way because we're worshiping man instead of God. Jesus, when he came, he was man. We don't worship man. We worship God. And that's what Jesus was directing us to. But how did he then get the glory? Because he took on our pain, our suffering, our punishment, the affliction. He took it all on himself. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquity. And the King James Version, it said he was bruised for mm-hmm. our iniquity. Bruises go deep into the flesh. Mm-hmm. Deep wounds, deep hurts. You know, it's deep. You've been battered. You've been beat upon. And he took on the punishment that brought peace. Sometimes some of us are just praying for a peaceful day. Every day we wake up as something different, something different, something different. And we need peace. Healing. He took on the wound so we could be healed. And most of us, the healing and the wounds are inside of us. They're the things that are inside. You know, they say that a physical hurt and illness is not as bad as a wounded spirit.
Absolutely.
That wound just, it just kills you. It just mm-hmm. takes everything out of you. And mm-hmm. sometimes you think you can't go on. Mm-hmm. But God is saying, I allowed that because I called you to minister. I called you to meet the needs of somebody else. The Bible says we all like sheep have gone astray. I went. He brought me back.
Mm-hmm.
I went again.
Mm-hmm.
He brought me back.
Mm-hmm.
When I get mad, I leave. I don't want to talk. Nothing to discuss. I'm out of here. And I have argued more with God than I have with people. Because even in my anger with people, I would talk to God about it. And I knew God existed. There are a lot of things you can accuse me of, but doubting that God is real is not one of them.
Amen. Amen.
He is so real to me. And he would tell me, there's times he and I have had conversations, and he'd say, Denise, do this. And I would question God. He'd say, if you don't do this, this is what's going to happen. And he would tell me the negative of what was going to happen. And I would not do it to see if that negative would happen. And it would happen. And it happened so much, I went to my mother. I said, I'm talking to my mom because my mom and I, we would have these conversations about God and God talking to me and my sister, because I've gone to her about it. Mommy just didn't believe God talked to me. I mean, I don't know why. I guess because I was stupid. No, I'm not going to say stupid. You told me about that. Mm-hmm. I was hard-headed.
Okay.
I was just hard-headed. And so I was telling her, and I started giving her examples of, I mean, this one time he showed me the vehicle. It was a red truck. And he said, Denise, don't go there. You know you don't belong there. All right, but if you go there, there's going to be, and he told me, this guy in this red truck. And when I got there, that truck wasn't there. And when I'm leaving, there's that red truck and that guy standing by the truck. I looked at him, I said, hello. I mean, just as if he was an angel sent from God. And that was like, that was the last time. Because my mother said to me, she said, Denise, would you stop doing what he told you not to do and just do what he tells you to do and see what happens? Because you already know what's going. He wouldn't tell me what the outcome would be if I obeyed him.
Right.
He just told me what the outcome was going to be if I disobeyed him. And I would disobey him to see if he was talking to me. Because I had to prove to me God's talking to me. I couldn't prove it to someone else. I had to prove it to me. I had to know within me God's talking to me about this. And I'm telling you, Jesus was a human. Don't you know that he had to know God was talking to him when he did things? When he stayed behind, when his mom and dad left and they are heading home and he's 12 years old and he stayed behind, he had to know God was talking to him and told him, I want you to talk to these people. I want you to learn. And when his mother came back, I think it took maybe a day or two for them to get back to him.
Couple days, yeah.
And mama said, son, what are you doing? Don't you know I have to be about my father's business? My mother would have taken out a belt and said, I'm about your father's business, all right. And she would have dealt with it. You know, dad's business is you obey me. You know, mama didn't play. So Jesus, I don't think his mother said, oh, okay, son. Mm-mm. Joseph certainly didn't. Joseph said, I'm your daddy now. You know, I mean, come on. It was not easy for him.
Mm-hmm.
Why mm-hmm. do we think it's going to be easy for us to serve God? We are going to go through some stuff. And when we go through it, keep in mind, and it's the hardest thing we have to do, God is allowing it because he's called you for such a time as this. He did not make a mistake, and he did not throw you over to Satan and say, oh, just do what you want with him. Just do what you want with him. I don't care. And maybe if you torture him enough, maybe he'll believe that I'm God. That is not what he did. He knew if he put these things on you, you could come through it. He knew you could make it. He knew he could count on you. You are here. Everyone here has suffered, but you're here. Your suffering got a hold of you. And many times you wonder, God, why did you allow? Because I knew you would pass the test.
Amen.
I knew you would trust me.
Yes.
I knew you would love me and not give up on me.
Yes, yes.
And you are going to take that to somebody else who needs me. You're going to be my mouthpiece.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, he loves you. He loves you with everything in you. And he has not forsaken you. And what he has not asked, I take that back. He hasn't asked you to go to the physical cross, but he's asked you to die. Die to self so that I can live through you. All I want is to live through you. I want people to see me and know me, and they will do it through you. And every day we're going to meet somebody. And I've been praying, and I'm going to share a flaw. Jesus fasted 40 days. And I knew he fasted 40 days. I always believed he had fasted 40 days, but I did not believe you could go 40 days without food. I thought only Jesus could do that. And when God told me to fast this year, and I've heard people say, I fasted 40 days. I said, yeah. And at the end of 24 hours, they ate. And then they went another 24 hours, and then they ate. Then they went another 20, and they got through their 40 days. I've never met anyone. I've heard, let me put it this way, I've heard of people saying they fasted for it. I just didn't believe that you could go that long without food. And when Jesus told me to fast this year, I thought, God, now you know I struggle, God, going a day. I struggle, God, sometimes going a meal. And you want me to fast for 40 days. If you help me, I can do it. And then when I had gone 31 or 32 days, my son-in-law was sick and he had come by. We didn't know how sick he was. And he visited with me. And then a day or so after, I got sick. And I was sick to the point I was bedridden. And I still did not eat. God took me through that to show me, if I ask you to do something, you can do it. Why? Because I am your strength. I understood that word that said man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And I'm telling you, that's what I did for 40 days. I put on the word of God. I studied. I listened to ministers. I didn't watch any of the shows I normally watch. I did not play games on my phone, which I am addicted to, but I didn't do it. I gave up everything for this fast. I had to do it. I had to know God for me. I had to know what God was able to do in me. Could he change me? There were some things I was praying for. And the first thing I was praying for was my health. And God restored my health. My husband saw it. I could not walk downstairs. It was so hard for me to get down the stairs because I'd be in pain. My knee would constantly give out on me. That I was afraid to come downstairs on a regular basis because the devil would always say, "You're going to fall today." I was scared to walk down my own stairs. And God touched me, and my knee was healed. My back was healed. No pain. When I went to the doctor, after and it's something because my sugar was going up and I really wanted sugar. That was my thing. I said, look, this thing got to be broken. This generational curse, it has to be broken. I was praying for restoration of my kids. I can tell you today, my daughter, my son-in-law, my grandchildren, they're in church today.
Amen.
Wouldn't even go to church.
Amen.
I was praying for restoration. My granddaughter, the other one, just being attacked by the enemy, attack after attack, her money stolen, her bank account, her name. She was upset. Not what I'm fasting. God, restore. God, you said, let me tell you, I understood why God had me as a fighter. And now, and they may say, why would God want you to fight? When I was little, you know who I beat up on? Bullies.
Mm-hmm.
You bully, I'm gonna hit you.
Yep.
I don't care about your size. If you a bully, I'm coming after you. I'm a right then and there. The person, you, don't worry about it. Step aside. Me and bully got to talk.
Mm-hmm.
I hate bullies. And that's how I see the devil.
Yep.
He's a bully. And I go after him. That's why God called me the intercessory prayer, because I go after the bully. I'm not going to sit by and let you be bullied and I do nothing. That's what he put in me. He made me a fighter. When I went to church and decided this is going to be my portion, you know what they were preaching on? Anna. Down in the church praying day and night. I said, God, that's who I want to be, because there is power in prayer. You beat up the bully in prayer, because our weapons are different. And where was Jesus all the time? Praying. Where did he get the strength to do what he did? In prayer.
Yeah.
So I fight with his weapon. I don't stop with the hands. I have to tell my granddaughter, honey, keep your hands to yourself. And mama knows, but keep your hands to yourself. That little girl. I understand, but you got to keep your hands to yourself. And I'm telling you, but it didn't make me stop fighting the bully. If there's a bully in your life, I'm coming after him.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when my son was a teenager and he started messing with drugs. And I had a talk with Satan. I said, you take one of my kids, I'm taking 100 of yours. Because you're not going to take my kids and get away with it. And I went after him. See, because that's my kid. So I take on that fighting persona. Jesus was all the grace and the mercy for people, not for the bully. He put Satan in his place. And we got to put Satan in his place under our feet. Because we are God's children. That's who we are. We're his children. We walk in authority. That's who we are. I'm telling you, I love the Lord. I am so appreciative. And I said to my husband, I said, Bill, if we would stop and think about all Jesus went through for us, not for 3 years, but for 33 years, we would not take sin lightly, because he suffered those first 30 years just to get into the ministry. He was trained for 30 years before he was brought into the ministry. And I thought, God, why now, after all these years, do you have me fasting and praying? He said, because there's something you have to do. And that's why God took me into fasting. I'm thinking, yeah, my life. No, no, no. Your life is just beginning. See, when you retired from the world, you entered into my employ. Mm-hmm. You work for me now. Your life belongs to me. And that's how we have to look at our lives. We belong to the Lord. He paid the price for our life. He paid that price. And we got to be strong. And the enemy will come after us. And he will go after the ones we love. But know this, God is on your side. You win. You win. It's a fixed fight. You win.
Amen. Amen.
It's already been called.
Amen. Yes.
Thank you, Lord. So yeah. I hope as we go this week and as we see and think about Christ going to the cross, think about it. You're going to the cross. Mm-hmm. Every day, a little piece of you mm-hmm. dies.
Yes.
And when God comes to take you home, you will have finished your assignment.
Mm-mm-mm.
And there will be so many lives that you have affected, and you won't even realize how many lives you touched. You're perfect. You're in the will of God, and he loves you. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yes. We thank God for the word. Yes. I'm going to be turning it over to you, Nikki, so get ready. We thank God for the word that came forth, for the testimony that came forth, and how God worked in her life. Praise be unto God. And her pointing out to us that it took 33 years, 30 years of preparation, 3 years actually in the ministry. But he was created, he was formed, he was brought to us on earth, you know, with all of this in mind. All of this was in mind. Each one of us created with purpose in mind, each one of us. And I thank God for the reminder. I thank him for the reminder. And yes, this is Holy Week. Praise be unto God. And you do as you see fit. There's many teachings and many things to do during Holy Week. There's fasting and so forth. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you on how you should be during this week of time. But I thank God, you know, for the word. I thank God for the word. I had no idea that I was going to get emotional reading about what he went through. But when you think about the things that Jesus really went through, when you think about it, excuse me, I don't know how we could be unemotional about it. I'm sorry. Nikki, go ahead, honey.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Go get some water, Apostle. Get off the camera. Go take care of yourself. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen, amen. To God be the glory. Auntie, that was an awesome word. Transparency. I love it. You are like your sister. She is transparent. Transparent. And I love it. And no, you were born and created for such a time as this. Grandma thought that she was having you for Auntie,
but she had you for us. She had you for your children, your grandchildren, the children over in Africa. You were created for such a time as this. So I thank God that you did not let that hinder you and stop you and suffer and let the devil attack you. I thank you for being obedient and listening and doing what God wanted you to do. I thank you. Honor you, woman of God. You walked through all that. You walked through all those years for the things that you have to do. So I thank God for your life. I thank God for your life. I thank God for everything you do. You are awesome and amazing, just like your sister. you are amazing. And I thank you. I thank you. That was an awesome, awesome, awesome word. I'm going to go back and listen to that again. That was really, really good. And it was, amen. And it was good to hear because it reminded me, Daniel had called me on, what day was it? Thursday, Ma, I think? Yes. Daniel had called me on Thursday and he was saying things, you know, like, what was he saying? He was saying things about my mother that she didn't realize that she was doing, that he was sitting and watching, going to the Christopher's place and being an evangelist and, you know, feeding the hungry and taking care of the poor and the dealing with the homeless and how he watched her at 9, 10, and 11 years old. And here he'll be 35 and he finds himself doing the same thing because of what he, you know, what he saw her do, you know, as a child. And, you know, he sits there and he's like, I'm not a preacher, but I sit and listen to what he says to these men. And I'm like, you were created for what? No, you're not in the pulpit, but you are the preacher and the pastor to what, you know, where you are and what people, you have the sound, you have the history, the drugs, the alcohol, you know, the mental health. You have all that, the only those people that you can reach certain people. You have that. No, you're not the pastor in the pulpit, but you are a preacher to those who God has ordained to me. I mean, you know, to me and come in contact.
Yes.
I just sit and I listen and I am in awe and I am so thankful to God for everything that he is doing in all of our lives. I'm just so thankful. So, I just thank God for you, Apostle Mom.
I thank God for God you. Bless you. God bless you.
I really, really do. Amen. Okay. Are there any announcements before we take the offering and deal with family business? Are there any announcements?
I have one. I have an announcement. Next Sunday, as you know, is Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. Okay, that is next Sunday. And instead of us meeting here online next Sunday, I am inviting the entire congregation to go to Abba's house for Resurrection Sunday. Wow. Okay, so we will be in a live service, live worship, and seeing what the Lord has to say. So that's where we will be next Sunday. And I noticed, like, any time that we go to Abba's house, people still come here to this line because I get notification every time somebody signs in, they still come here. Please pay attention. Yes, Nikki too. Please pay attention to the website and to the announcements. Second Sundays, we're at Abba's house for 12 o'clock service. You can go online and link in and see us, hear us, and all of that good stuff. And this Sunday is fifth Sunday, and it's Resurrection Sunday, so we're all going to go over there for our service. So those of you that are out of town, you know you still can get the service online. Tabika, you'll tell them you'll tell them where to get that from. We'll do that. It's out of my lane, okay? That's out of my lane, so you can handle that. The other announcement that I want to make is I got a text from Bridget this morning. Her son, Robert, was in a car accident. In fact, she texted me from the car accident. He was in a car accident. He hit his head on the windshield and his body against the dashboard. Sounds like no seatbelt on for his head to get to the windshield. I don't know. But anyway, at the time, the ambulance was there. They were getting ready to take him to the hospital. I don't know if anybody else was hurt, but that's you know, what I got so far. So please keep Robert in prayer as we are praying throughout the week. And as more information comes in, you know, we'll get it out to you. But Robert, it has been in a car accident, and that's where Sister Bridget is this morning. Okay, that is it for me. Go ahead.
One more, just excuse me, once again, a reminder about April 10th. Anyone that's available, we're just asking for volunteers to come out and join with us. Once again, we have the opportunity to pray with the police. It's our first time praying in the precinct, so we'll be invited to come and pray over the police before they go into their roll call for their next duty shift. It's April the 10th. Minister Tabika sent out the info. Just a reminder, though, anyone that's available, it's at 215 in the Woodlawn precinct, right on the corner of Woodlawn and Windsor Mill. Thank you.
And let me say this too. Let me say this. I had the experience, excuse me, of doing a virtual training that the policemen go through, and is dealing with different scenarios. And these scenarios that they showed us were real live, real true scenarios. And we had the opportunity of being the police officer, and we had tasers, guns with no ammunition in it, of course. And it's an interactive thing. So we would talk to the screen, to the criminal, talk to the screen, and the person handling the software would have that person answer us back. And we would have to make decisions. It was the most impressive thing, and looking at how many things, the thoughts that they've got to go through, a police officer has to go through in a matter of seconds. Not, well, let me think, what does the book say about this and so forth? No, seconds, decisions have to be made. It was life-changing, and it made me think of our prayer walk and the unity between us as the church and the officers. And when Lee Davis, it's her assignment at those prayer walks to pray for those officers. And the tears, the way this woman prays for them, covering their families, asking God to give them this discernment as they're pulling their guns and this, that, and the other. And these officers weep. They weep. And because of our brother, we also have another side of the picture of what these officers go through. And my heart goes out to them. I do not take the stance that the population takes every time we see something that's on TV, because things are so twisted that we don't get all of the inside information about decisions being made. We don't get it, and we start riots and so forth and so on. And I'm telling you, saints of God, until you are standing in their shoes and having to make some decisions, are some of the things they do wrong? You better believe it. So wrong that they should be put under the jail, not even in the jail. They should be under the jail. However, I see you, son. However, you know, there are things that we have accused them of that aren't necessarily true. Anyway, I'm going to do my best to get them to do a presentation for us so we can interact and do it ourselves, and you see what you can do. But when I heard Mark and them come up with the idea of us going into the precinct, they appreciate the prayer. When Mark goes over to the church to go to his job, Mark isn't going over there to the church wondering if he's coming home. When Tabika goes to do what she does at the pharmacy, the only time they would wonder about it is traveling the highway. They're not worrying about, is somebody going to shoot them? Is somebody going to stab them? Is somebody going to do this, that, and the other? But how would you feel if every day you got up and you put on a uniform, you kissed your wife and your kids goodbye, and you walk out in the street and you have no idea if you're coming back home? And then to deal with all the crap that they deal with during that time, and I'm listening to my brother in my ear right now, during that time, seeing somebody's brains be shot out, seeing some woman been beaten half to death by her husband, seeing some kid overdose, and you got to go home and help your child with homework. How do you do it? How do you do it? So I just implore you, anyone that can come with us over to the precinct and pray for these officers, count it as something well done. They appreciate it. I encourage all of you. We have just a team of us that go on these prayer walks. I encourage all of you, anytime that we have a prayer walk, if you can attend, attend it. Because we're going into neighborhoods where people have been murdered, and we're in the county. We're not even going in into the city right now. We're strictly county bound. So where we're going, it's almost all homeowners, residential, middle income and up and so forth. It doesn't look like a place where you would see the crime that we see. However, you know, the last one that we did, the 18-year-old boy killed his father and his grandmother, all because his father wouldn't let him go somewhere. So crime is everywhere, saints of God. I implore you to come and be a part of this, because we are taking back territory. We're taking back territory. All right, I'm through. Mark, thank you for that announcement, beloved. Thank you.
Amen.
Okay, yeah, I'm like, what are we doing now?
Mr. Tabika, do you have to do, is it email, or are you going to tell them how to do what they need to do for Sunday?
We can't hear you. You're muted.
I was going to send an email.
Okay, sounds good. Okay. All right, all right. Well, we all know where to go to give our offerings and our tithes, www.newvisionforlife.com. That is where you can go and give your tithes and your offerings, and you will see all the ministries that are on there. Please join the ministries, donate to the ministries. You never know whose life you are changing or will change. Amen, amen, amen. I am going to, let me see. Definitely. I'm going to say our declaration for our offering, and then we will turn it over into the hands of Minister Kyle, and he will handle our family business. Again, as I say these things, and again, we know God is not limited to any of these things. We know he can, will, and has done any and everything. But sometimes, you know, you need to see the things, hear the things that you're looking for, that you need, or you don't know that you need, or what have you. So these are just some things that are just thrown out, not thrown, that are said, you know, just to help you. And as you go along, if you receive it, grab it. If it's for you, grab it for somebody else. Reach into your future and pray over it. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we receive and have already received, and for those who have already given prior to today, as we have received and given our offering, we are believing you, Father God, for jobs and for better jobs, God, for stolen money to be returned, Father God, for raises and bonuses, Lord Jesus, for benefits, sales and commissions, Lord Jesus, favorable settlements, real estates and inheritance, interest and income, God, rebates and return, checks in the mail, divine health and healing. Thank you, God. Yes. Family members, friends, and enemies saved, Father God. Lord Jesus, checks in our hands, checks in the mail, money in our hands, gifts and surprises, God, our debts to be paid off, Father, expenses to decrease, blessings to increase, new businesses, Father God. We thank you, God, for leading us to where our church building is supposed to be, Father God. Lord, yes. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for meeting all of our needs, God, because we know that money answereth all things, Lord Jesus. So we thank you, God, for the money to meet our needs, Father God, so that we can continue to bless the kingdom, God, so that we can continue to give the mama shoes, God, so that we can continue to bless Rhema Ministries, God, so that we can continue to bless the Daniel Project, God, so that we can continue to bless the outreach ministry, God, so that we can continue to give our monies, Father God, to the church building that we're going to have, Lord Jesus, for every ministry that is out there, for Heart to Heart to be continued to be online and this, that, and the other, Lord Jesus. Father God, for the man in the street that we'll meet, Lord, for the person that will be standing behind, Lord Jesus, in the grocery store, and they're short on the money, even if they're not short, God, if you told us to bless them, God, we don't have to worry about what bill we have to pay, God. Lord Jesus, that we would just hear, pay it forward, be in the drive-thru and pay it forward, God. Just, Lord Jesus, the people we see on the streets, God, it's not our business what they do with the money. Lord, we give them the money, Lord Jesus, and we help them, God. So God, we thank you for meeting all of our needs so that it's not a concern, God. You handle everything. Give us this day our daily bread, God. We thank you, God. We thank you for everything that you have done, everything that you will soon allow us to see, God. We thank you. We will never cease to give you glory and honor. In Jesus' precious holy name, it is sealed. I receive it. If you receive it,
I receive it.
Receive it. In Jesus' name, it is so. It is done. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.